I don't know if you ever thought about it this way, but one of the things that religious Jews seem to do very often, maybe too often, is that they're always washing their hands. And
it's
I know it's probably compulsive behavior, but yes. So the question is: are all hand washings created equal? And we're going to see some things today, which is really an introduction. I'm going to continue because I have some more things that I want to say about it, including some things of how this rolls over into certain laws of Shabbat. And don't get scared. There's a huge leniency that I'm going to say, but it's not going to come so quickly. It's, we've got a little time for that. Next week, I'm not going to be here, but my father graciously said that he will come, and he's going to do an overview on the laws of Muksa next week.
Your father's great.
So you know what? I could ask him to come every week if you like.
This way, at least we don't have to hear about New Year's if we hear about it.
Sorry. You know what? I've had other things to concern me, and I don't even know how I finished this week. Anyway. So I started saying that not all washing is created equal. And if you just start thinking off the top of your head, when do we wash? Well, I hope that most of you wash when you get up in the morning, which is what today's class is really going to be about. But you know that we wash before we eat bread, and some of you may even wash at the end of a meal, and maybe we'll get to that as well. And when else do you wash? After the bathroom, you wash. If you come out of a cemetery, you wash. And again, I'm going to ask that same thing. Are all washings created equal? And when I say are they created equal, does that mean are they all done the same way? Or are the same issues that we're concerned about? Or are there different issues that we're concerned by the different washing?
I have a question.
Already?
When I think of washing, I think of washing.
Okay.
And the Tilat Yadayim is actually not washing.
Okay, so that's absolutely. So that's one of the things that we're going to see. That's one of the things we're going to see. Now, even when it comes to something as simple as washing in the morning, even that, I think that you may know that different people have different customs. Maybe you've seen some people who will make sure that they sleep with a little bucket under or next to their bed. Under the bed may be a separate problem. Next to their bed with a washing thing, they don't want to even get out of bed without washing. And other people may not be as careful at all. So let's see what the Gemara says about it. And what we're going to find right away is that there are actually multiple Gemarot, which are not necessarily, I'm not going to say they disagree with one another, but what they are doing is they're certainly focusing on different things. The first one is going to be the simplest one. It's Gemara in Brachot, which I'm taking right out of context, but I will inform you what the context is. This Gemara tells us all of the Brachot that we say in the morning. And it says that when you hear the rooster crow, you know, what roosters, what do they do?
The crow
of a rooster, then you say, Shenatana Sri Levchin Vino Vilayla. Actually, around a month ago, I was, one of my sons had a Shabbat yeshiva in Mivaseret. And so we stayed there for Shabbat, and there was a rooster that was making noise all night long. And apparently, what happened is they were scared that someone would steal the roosters, so they had a halogen light shining on the roosters. So the roosters, of course, thought that it was morning. And when I got up in the morning, after not sleeping all that much, I said, I don't know how I'm going to say this bracha this morning, because this rooster did not know the difference between Yom V'Laila. So artificial light has, that'd probably be a good name for a book, How Artificial Light Confused the Rooster. But that's for you if anybody wants to write that book.
I want another Pirush of Netilah.
Okay, I heard you. Shwaya. We'll get there.
No, the literal Pirush of Netilah.
The word Netilah would indicate the use of a cup. Okay, the use of a kli, if you will. Okay. So within the list of all these things that you do, and incidentally, the way the Gemara lists these things is not when you start to daven or not when you get to shul do you say the list of all the brachot ha-shachar. Rather, as far as the Gemara is concerned, you say each bracha as you do that particular act. Okay, so you just think about all those brachot in the morning. This is, I mean, it's actually a little funny the way that we tend to do it. The Vilna Gaon, by the way, had this. His tradition was to do the same thing, like the Gemara says it. Here's the list of each thing. You get to each thing, you say that bracha. And it's not part of the prayers per se, but rather part of sensitivity when you wake up in the morning. Within this whole list of things that you would do, again, when you hear the rooster, when you get out of bed, when you stretch your feet, when you put on clothing, right? Each one of these things has a bracha. The Gemara says, Kimashi Yadei. Now, of course, this is convenient because it's Aramaic, so you're not exactly sure what Mashi means, but you know, it didn't say Natal. It says when you wash your hands. Kimashi Yadei Lema. When you wash your hands, you say, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokim Hachalam, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvot Tzivanu, Al Netilat Yadayim. One thing which is interesting about this, which I don't know how sensitive you are, think about the bracha. Let's go back to our lamented rooster. What's the bracha there? What's the difference in that bracha and this bracha? Good. This bracha sounds like a bracha of a mitzvah. That bracha sounds like a bracha of some phenomenon, natural phenomenon took place. So that itself is interesting, because here within our whole list of things that you do in the morning, there is a bracha mitzvah which has made its way or made its appearance. Okay.
Why don't we bench after, not before?
We'll see. Let's look at the second source now. Now this is Gemara in Brachot, Daf Yudalid. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Harotze sheyikabel alav ol malchut shemayin shlema. If you want to accept upon yourself God's divinity, God's uniqueness, God's kingship in the complete way, yifne, do you know what that means? No, it means over here, yeah, toileting, if you will, okay.
Yifne,
right, exactly. Go to the bathroom. Vito. Yadav, wash your hands, v'yaniach tefillin, put on tefillin, v'yikra kriyat shema, v'yitpalel, v'zuhi malchut shemayin shlema. Now this is just a very interesting list of things that you put on your checklist. I mean, you'll realize it could have said you want to accept Ol Malchut Shemayim properly. What do? You say Shemayim, you say Shemon Esrei. Okay, you want the male-oriented version. Okay, put on tefillin as well. But why did it need those earlier parts, including going to the bathroom, including washing your hands? Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So this is Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, again, saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who was the one who had made the first statement, if you did all this, it's as if you built a mizbeach and you placed an offering on top of it. Tichtiv, erchatz benikayon, kafiv esoviva et mizbechecha Hashem. So he quotes an interesting verse in Tehillim, which says, I will wash my hands. Now over here, what is benikayon? Benikayon kapai. Erchotz benikayon kapai. Now, literally, right? It's good they're having the judgment now for Katzav, right? I'm sure he's protesting nikayon kapayim. What does nikayon kapai mean literally, and what does it mean figuratively? Literally, it means clean hands. What else could it mean? It could mean it could be with a clear conscience. Which way is it being used over here? What?
Probably the metaphorical way.
Which way is the Gemara? Not the what the pasuk means. Which way is the Gemara using it? Not my translation. I take no. We don't look at translations. Translations are just to confuse you and make you feel inadequate that you should have learned the Hebrew.
The Gemara is looking at it literally, but the meaning of Tehillim is probably metaphorical.
Good. I mean, that would seem to make sense, that the verse itself in Psalms and Tehillim is telling you that you're going to approach God, do it with a clear conscience, right? Clear your conscience before you approach God. But the way that the verse is being utilized over here in the Gemara, seems to be saying no. It seems to be using it in its literal way. And by the way, that is justified. Why is it justified? Because even when you use a metaphor, so the metaphor needs to be an appropriate metaphor. So even, do you understand that point? That even though it could be understood metaphorically, that doesn't totally separate it from its literal use as well. Okay? So what did this source do for us, source number two? Okay, one, it spoke about washing one's hands. Did it clearly indicate that this is something which is done in the morning? Although it's the context of the Gemara, it's the general feel of it. It is the morning. How do I know it's the morning? The tefillin. The tefillin is the giveaway over here. Because if it were at night, then it wouldn't be. So here we are talking about approaching God in the morning. Because, again, if it's the afternoon, then there's no Shema. So therefore, if you just put all the pieces together, when you have Shema, when you have tefillin, and you have Shemona Esrei, so what do you have? You talk about getting up in the morning. So here we are talking about morning behavior, but it did include washing the hands. Now, what's the purpose of washing the hands in this particular source? Right. So okay, good. So that is now going to be, if I had to write a headline for this law, the headline would be preparation for prayer, which means if I'm going to approach a king, I need to approach the king in a proper way, which is really quite literally what this source is telling us. So now, washing the hands, if I had to conceptualize and say, okay, for what purpose am I washing the hands? What would the reason be? Prepare for tefillah. But again, okay, let me put it this. Okay, good. So let me then raise a couple of different possibilities. When we wash our hands before bread, why do we wash our hands? Don't answer yet. When we wash our hands, let's just say walking out of a cemetery, why are we washing our hands? Are those the same reasons we're washing the hands? Okay? When we want... Well, yes and no adds up to no.
No, it adds up to 50%.
50%. Okay, so then you'll have to say... Then you have to say how it's similar, how not.
There's a difference, though, in washing after you go to the bathroom and washing when you wake up in the morning.
And what's the difference?
I always understood that when you wake up in the morning, it's the
to okay, so now we have a new word thrown in. Here's somebody who spent too much time in yeshiva, and therefore they got to her. So just now she told us, oh, but there's tum'ah. So I'm just looking very carefully on the lines, between the lines, under the lines.
Yeah, so
Right, so that's why I'm looking very carefully over here, and I'm asking, did you notice any tum'ah yet?
Well, that's the 50% when you come out of the cemetery.
That was the part that was the same or that was different?
The part that I was referring to.
That's the same or different? No, you can't say which 50%.
Yeah. If that's the 50% that you're either removing yourself from the tum'ah of the mitzvah and so on, but you're preparing yourself, and this is the other 50%, for the next mitzvah that you're going to do.
Okay. So the one thing which is missing till now is any mention of these sources. I'm not saying, look, we got more sources to go. But so far what's missing is any mention of tum'ah. We don't have any reference to tum'ah. In fact, I would claim quite the opposite. I would claim in the first source, all that we said is you should wash your hands. We don't know anything else about it. Second source, again, you can read it into it. I mean, that's obvious. You can read tum'ah and things like that any place you want. In the second source, actually, from using the verse that's quoted, Archetz B'Nikayon, so what does it sound like? It actually sounds like an issue of cleanliness. You go to the bath and wash your hands. Right, but it's the juxtaposition with going to the bathroom, which makes it interesting. It says, go to the bathroom, wash your hands. I mean, what second? There are no mothers in the room who have ever told your kids, did you wash your hands after? Over here, it's... But that's how it's being used. Again, that's what's interesting, is that it's using this verse in order to support the idea that you need to wash your hands. Now, again, you could tell me that the washing the hands over here is really on a level of somebody going to the mikveh, like the Kohen Gadol going to the mikveh and preparing himself to serve on Yom Kippur in the inner sanctum. Again, you can tell me that. I'm willing to accept it. I think it's a very nice idea. And that washing your hands in the morning is essentially... the same idea, right? It's a microcosm of going to the mikveh to prepare yourself spiritually. And over here, that's what washing your hands is for. As I said, I accept it. On the other hand, there seems to be this other element over here, which is the way the Gemara is using the verse, and that is seems to be this issue of cleanliness. And again, if I go back to the first hand, because I don't want to end up with three hands, if I go back to the first hand, right, only Tevye had three hands, if I want to go back to the first hand, then he is talking about Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, which you can say is you need to prepare yourself spiritually for that. I just said that the washing of the hands following the bathroom also seems to have a very basic other motivation, and that other motivation is hygiene, right? Hygiene also. So again, so if you like, and we're not sure over here, so we'll leave this source open. So now we have a question mark.
Hygiene, you can wash your hands with soap and water.
Okay. And how do you know over here you can't? Good. Good. So this source, good. So this source said litol, so that would lead us to believe that maybe it does need a kli. The first source said to wash. It didn't say litol. Even though you'll talk about the bracha says litol, so it has to be that you were. So again, now we do have a little more evidence, and that's part of what we were looking for. Let's look at the next source. The next source is a Gemara in Shabbat. And now you'll tell me, are we dealing over here with hygiene, cleanliness, right? Hygiene slash cleanliness, or we're dealing with some spiritual dynamic. Do we have any other possibilities, or that was enough? Or there is a third possibility. The third thing which you sort of threw together just now is a spiritual element of preparation, but not necessarily to remove tum'ah. Did that make any sense or no? Which means you could have, there's some kind of tum'ah on you, so you need to remove it. That's one thing. Or it could be, it's not a question you have tum'ah on you, but you need, as I said, to prepare yourself to face God to pray. So you need to go through some kind of a process of preparation. So I can have a preparation for prayer, I can have a removal of tum'ah, and you can easily tell me that those are the same thing. I'm just pausing for a moment and pointing out that perhaps they could be separate things. And then we have this other consideration, which is an issue of hygiene. And now again, you could tell me, but lack of hygiene is the Ruach Ra and is the Tumah, and all these things actually are one. And I'm making something very simple too complicated, which is actually what good rabbis do. Okay. So now we can look at source number three. Tanya Nami Hachi was also taught, Amar Rebbe, Rabbi Muna B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, Tovat tipat tzonen shacharit v'rechitzat yadayim v'raglayim arvit mikol kilarun sheba'olam. Which means, it's better to wash yourself with a little cold water at night, in the morning, and to wash your hands and feet at night, than all of the medication you can take for your eyes, mikol kilarun, all the salves, all the medication that you can take in the world. Which means, basically, preventive hygiene is better than having problems and then using medication. One second. Did that sound like a wise statement? That's how it's translated here. That's what we're going to get to. That you know that your hands may be dirty and your hands are going to touch your eyes, but we'll see how clearly the Gemara is going in this direction in a moment. But again, what the Gemara said till this point is, again, you can say this is just good advice. This is not one of these statements where it was, you know, passed on Halacha Moshe Mishinai, that this may be one of these statements that based upon experience, based upon talking to a local doctor, and doctor said, you know, where disease is coming from. They say, oh, disease comes from because people aren't washing their hands properly. And if more people had washed their hands properly, so that one of my students, she's very sweet. She came over to me yesterday after my class, and she said, I notice you bring the same bottle of water every day. She goes, it could have germs in it, and you have to use different bottles of water. I mean, I pour out the water before I take new water, but maybe she's right. I need to wash it out with hot water as well. But again, it was, excuse me?
Don't wash it out with hot water.
Not with hot water.
Plastic.
So don't use hot water. So
no, not in plastic.
So wash out with cold water is okay?
Because it's plastic.
Okay.
Not because it's
dirty. Right, I understand. But again. But don't freeze it. Why? Don't use plastic.
Anyway, he uses the word tova. Tova here means it's like a recommendation.
Right, right. Good. It's a good idea. Tovat, but it's better for you. He's saying tovat. It's better preventive medicine. What's preventive medicine? Wash your hands, right, in the morning. Wash your hands and feet at night. Before you go to bed at night, be clean before you get into bed. When you get up in the morning, wash your hands. Okay. No, it said, but by the way, notice the night. Notice the night it said, Rechitzat Yadayim V'Raglayim Arvit. What does that mean? Don't get into bed dirty. I'm sorry if the Gemara had to teach this to you. What's this saying? Take a shower before you go to sleep at night. That's what it said. Rechitzat Yadayim V'Raglayim. Right? Don't get into bed dirty. This is going to be very good preventive medicine in terms of avoiding all kinds of... Okay. In terms of avoiding all kinds of problems. What else did the Gemara say? The Gemara say, wash your hands, right, with cold in the morning. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara then says, Huya Omer, he used to say, Yad la'ayin tikatzeitz. You stick your fingers in your eye, better to have your hand cut off. Yad l'chotem, in your nose, cut off. Yad l'pen, your mouth, tikatzeitz, cut off. Yad la'ozen, tikatzeitz. And he's cutting off lots of hands over here, but basically, Yad l'chasuda, Yad la'ama, Yad l'pitabat, getting to all kinds of places on the body. Some places not even on your bodies. Yad legigat. What's the legigat? That's a barrel. That's where they keep gigit. Gigit. That's where they keep like wine or beverages or things like that. Cut it off. Yad misameh, because a finger or hand can make you blind. Mechareshet, it can make you deaf. Yad ma'ale polyps. If you know what polyps are, it says that this can cause polyps. Okay, so now, till this point in the Gemara, how would you understand everything we just now read? You would say that, hygiene, right. Everything over here seems to be issues of hygiene. It does touch the washing in the morning and so on. So over here, it did not sound, this is very different from source number two. Bless you. This is very different from source number two, which was talking about preparation of facing the king. This was hygiene. I mean, theoretically, source number three, you would tell your local idolater as well that this is all good advice. It has nothing to do with getting up and putting your tefillin on. This has to do with facing God. Yeah.
Well,
you should never read those. Where did you read this?
In a newspaper article. Right. They did a study, and it was community that were more.
Which community?
I don't know. I read it where.
In a Jewish newspaper.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Right. No, there is a concern about in religious communities, especially where they know that washing your hands is more the religious issue. You got to wash with a cup. But then, what about the whole soap issue? And have we spoken about soap at all? So that's again. Something I want to get to still, but we're not going to get to it this time. So everything we've read in this source till now has, again, clearly had been in the direction of hygiene. And then we get to the next part. Tanya Rabbi Natan Omer, it was taught, Rabbi Natan said, Bat Charin Hizu. Now, what? So it's strange. What does it mean, Bat Charin Hizu? So I like the English translation over here. It's very contemporary. It's a free, the hand is a free agent. Bat chorinizu. What it really means is that the hands can wander to all kinds of places. Umakbedet. And you have to be careful. Ad shirchotz yadav shalosh pa'amim. And it's the bottom line of source three. Tanu binatun ome bat chorinizu. Umakpedet ad shirchotz yadav shalosh pa'amim. Now, just it's a very strange line. What this is referring to? I mean, is it going back to the hands? What? So is it? It first of all, is it talking about the hand? It went into the feminine for some reason. I mean,
yeah, but they didn't know about germs in those days.
Well, did they or didn't they? Hold on. Bat chorin hizu. So we don't know what this literally means. Bat chorin. Somebody who's free. Bat Chorin, we're not sure what this means.
She's everywhere.
Umakpedet, and it's and is. Makpedet, no.
Makpida,
but umakpedet, which means it's going to still be there. It's going to be vigilant. Ad shirchotz yadav shalosh pamim, to you wash your hands three times. Now, here, for the first time, we see a source. I don't know how many of you heard that when you get up in the morning, you have to wash each hand, right? Each hand three times. So here, we finally see a source about three times. The only question is, the whole first part of this Gemara was talking clearly in terms of hygiene, and this last line over here, we're not sure exactly what this means at all. Let's look at Rashi in source number 4. And Rashi, till this point, is telling us all things about hygiene, where it's underlined, Bat Charinhi, Haruach Hashara Al Hayadayim Lifnei Nitila. So here, for the first time, you see the existence of a Ruach Ra'ah, of some kind of a bad spirit, as it were. Rashi writes that where it's underlined in source 4, Bat Charinhi. So he is describing what is the Bat Chorin. That is the Ruach Ra. The Ruach Ra is called Bat Chorin. So Rashi understands this Gemara that there is some kind of Ruach Ra. I don't know how to translate Ruach Ra other than saying bad spirit or evil spirit, if you will. So here Rashi's telling us, and that's how he understands the Gemara. He understands this last line of the Gemara saying that there is some kind of thing called a Ruach Ra, and the only way of removing this Ruach Ra is by washing each hand three times. Although the Gemara over here says, Ad shi yirchotz yadav shalosh pa'amim, the question is, does yirchotz mean over here with the cup, or does it mean with the cup? I could also know that yirchotz shalosh pa'amim means, wash my hands with soap, right? Wash off the soap, wash it again, wash it three times. Again, I can say that as well. That could be very good protocol to make sure your hands are completely clean. So does this source over here speak about cleanliness, or does it speak about something else which is spiritual? So Rashi certainly took us in the last line, and he just took us towards the spiritual, although we have to admit, the last line of the Gemara was not that simple, even without Rashi's comment. On the other hand, let's point out that the Gemara didn't say black and white that the problem over here is Ruach Ra. Didn't say it, but that is how Rashi is understanding this idea called Bat Chorin. Okay, source number 5. The last Gemara we'll do this morning, and then we'll see some of the Rishonim. This is talking about getting up Yom Kippur morning. That's why it's a Gemara in Yoma. Ayin Zayin, you get up Yom Kippur morning. Tanu Rabbanan, Asur Lirchotz B'Miktzat Gufo Kichol Gufo. When it says on Yom Kippur, you're not supposed to wash, you can't wash be it a small part of your body, your little pinky, nor can you wash your whole body. You can't wash on Yom Kippur. Except, V'im Haya Miluchlach B'Titiv V'Tso'ah, but if you were really completely dirty, Rochetz K'Derkov V'Enichol Shesh, then you can wash. Okay, why that's the case? Apparently, what is the prohibition of washing Yom Kippur? From what pasuk does it come from? What pasuk? Good. What's the pasuk? Ve'initem et nafshotechem. What does ve'initem et nafshotechem mean? That you shouldn't do things which are pleasurable. So therefore, to take a nice hot shower could be something which is pleasurable. But if your hands are dirty, that's not talking about washing out of pleasure. That's talking about removing dirt. So over here, what does it say? You're not allowed to wash. Even a little part of your body, you can't wash. But if you have dirt on your hands, then you can, because then you are removing dirt. Okay, so that should now be a very clear distinction, and you can see why the Gemara would allow this, but it didn't allow that. Asur lasuch miktsat gufo. It's also talking about putting on oil or some kind of creams or something you can't put on. But if you have scabs or whatever, then you can do it. Why? Because again, you can't put on oil for pleasure. But if you have pain, to remove the pain, that's not removing pain is not the same thing as pleasure. Okay? Good? Mm-hmm. Till now, everything's clear. Tana debei Menashe, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, it was taught in the school of Menashe that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, "Midicha isha yada echat b'mayim v'notenet pat latinok." Now again, this washing here may or may not have anything to do with our discussion till this point. But what did this source say? Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wash. Okay, but what if a woman wants to give bread to her kid? So now, you all know that you wash before you eat bread. The question is, why do you wash before you eat bread? What's the answer? Why do we all wash before we eat bread? Oh, so maybe I should not tell you. No. The reason, well, maybe with this you'll say two reasons. The reason we wash is because the Kohanim used to wash before they would eat truma. Now, what does a Kohen eating truma have to do with me eating a pastrami sandwich? I don't know. But the Gemara then said, in order not to forget the law of the Kohen eating truma, it institutes washing for everybody for all bread which is going to be eaten. Which means this is not, quote unquote, part of the original halacha. This is a halacha to remember what the halacha once was. Okay, so now let me go back again. If a woman wants to give a woman, it's Yom Kippur, and she wants to give a piece of bread to her kid, a kid is allowed to eat. So he says, oh, she should wash that hand. So why am I, meaning, is she washing this hand because of the Kohen eating truma? And she's not eating it, she's giving it to the kid, so why is she washing the hand? So it sounds like the consideration of washing the hand is because of either something spiritual or because of hygiene. So that would say, and moreover, the fact that he's saying wash one hand makes it sound like, okay, you know, if your hand has not been washed, then this is a... Right, right. Good. So let's look at it again. Midicha isha yada achad, v'notenet pat latinok, v'eina chosheshet, which eina chosheshet means this is allowed on Yom Kippur. Why? Because you're not doing it for pleasure. You're doing it for another reason. Amr level shamay hazakin, shaloretza lachil bi yado achad, he didn't want to be careful with one hand, v'gazru alav lachil b'shtei yadayim, my taima? Okay, so what did Shammai say? Shammai say that no, wash both hands. You're gonna feed somebody? Don't just wash that one hand. Right? Would you want someone to come out of the bathroom and serve you food in, let's say, a restaurant, but only wash the one hand they're bringing the plate with? No? No. So what does Shammai say? Please, wash both hands. Okay. Then the Gemara explains what's the reason for it. My taima ama abaye. By the way, realize from Shammai Hazaken, right? Hill and Shammai, you're talking about an early Tana. To Abaye, you're talking about a third generation Amori. You're talking about hundreds of years in between. So Abaye, Omar Abaye, Mishum Shifta. So the reason is because of Shifta. And of course, there's one problem is, what is Shifta? So Rashi writes, source 6, Midicha et yada, she washes the hand. Lefi Sheruach Ra'a, Shora alalecha. Now, this is the second time Rashi did this to you, right? This is the second time that there was a Gemara there, wasn't sure what it meant. Rashi, both times over here, says there's a Ruach Ra'ah. Now, listen to the Ruach Ra'ah, which he's describing over here. Lefisha Ruach Ra'ah Shora alalechem, hanilkach biyadayim shalonat lan shacharit. So, what Rashi just now did in one sentence is he linked the washing to the getting up in the morning. That if you didn't wash your hands, then the Ruach Ra from getting up in the morning is still with you, and that goes particularly, it goes on bread. Okay, that's Rashi's statement. And then he goes,
the Ruach Ra is on the bread,
and then he writes, Vishem Hashed, if you want to know the name of this particular demon, Shifta. Shifta is the name of this particular... Slow down. So Rashi over here, again, seems to be a very strong advocate. Because again, there were two Gemaras that if he really wanted to, he could have interpreted in different ways. But both times Rashi over here tells us, no, that there is something spiritual going on. This spiritual thing will particularly affect bread. By the way, I can assure you, if you really want, I can show you. There's Shilot and Shuvot about this. Does the person from Angel's Bakery who hires the people who work in the store there, do they have to make sure... Does the mashgiach have to make sure that everybody dealing bread had washed their hands in the morning before they touched the bread? So again, ad kedei kach, I can tell you that there are concerns about this. Excuse me? Let's look at Tosfot now. Well, according to Ravadia says on that tshuva, that this shifta is only a concern, the spiritual thing is only a concern of Jews and not of non-Jews, so non-Jewish workers, you don't have to worry about in terms of this. Right. Right. But on the bread, hanil kach b'idayim shalonet lan shacharit, which means that you will transfer from your unwashed hands onto bread, you will transfer this thing called the shifta. Oh, calm down already. I heard you the first time. No.
That's what I think. That's what I'm saying.
One second. What if I were to say to you that what Rashi is really referring to over here is bacteria?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now it's no longer Munot Tefillot. Okay. What? Good. But I'm saying, let's just say Rashi's talking about. I'll say it again. I'll say it again. First of all, she's right. The Gemara talks about shadim in many, many places. It's not the Gemara. Now the question is: are these metaphorical? Are these literal? Do they used to be literal? No longer literal. But we, right now, if I just say that what we're talking about over here is bacteria, so then suddenly we don't have that much problems. Then you say quite the opposite: is that the Gemara, right? Wouldn't this be interesting in terms of public health? That the Gemara over here has concerns, don't touch food unless you've washed your hands properly, and so on. So it's saying because of bacteria, and you have to guard your health, and so on. So, but it's interesting. Once you give a name for the bacteria and you call it shifta, then you get all upset. This is a munat tefillot. You know how many people could have been kept alive because of this halacha over the years? Again, just think about it.
Wasn't there sort of like the Black Death?
Yes.
Yeah.
Much less Jews died from that.
Correct. So just to make you happy, because you're all work. I want to make you happy. Let's look at Tosfot. Tosfot will make you happy, or at least partially happy. Tosfot in source number 7, Mishum Shifta. Pirish Rashi. Rashi explains Ruach Ra'ah Hashor Al Yadayim Shalonat Lan Shacharit. V'Rabbeinu Tam Mifaresh. Again, Rashi's grandson says Dibelonatinat Pat Latinok. Right. Even without giving bread to a child on Yom Kippur, mutar li to yodav shachar b'yom kippurim de lo gora mi meluch lachot b'tid v'tzorah. He says that you get up in the morning on Yom Kippur, wash your hands. Rabbeinu Tam says, wash your hands, because it's no different from the person whose hands are dirty with all kinds of things. You get up in the morning, you have no reason to believe that your hands are clean. He says, no, you wash in the morning and you're not concerned because when you wake up, your hands are dirty. So he's saying, this is the situation. Unless, you know what, if you sleep with gloves on, so then maybe then Rabbeinu Tam would say, okay, then don't say this out loud, because next year someone's going to put all over saying, Rabbi Ari Khan said, everybody Yom Kippur should not wash their hands, but should sleep with gloves on so that you can avoid. That's right, all year. Wear gloves and then take off the gloves and change the gloves. Anyway, so Rabbeinu Tam says wash your hands in the morning on Yom Kippur. Okay, are we okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Ve'enu choshesh. Correct. Which is interesting. They're reading. Hold on. He goes, if you haven't washed your hands in the morning, so then that your hands will not be clean. As we learned in that other Gemara, right? Yad lepetitzot, which means if your hands are unwashed and your hands start touching your various parts of your body, so then he says those kinds of hands should be removed. Why? Mishum, instead of writing bat chorin, apparently they had a different girsa here, mishum bat melech, because there is the thing called bat melech, which we previously saw called bat chorin, and what is the name of this thing? Vishifta, right? And this is called vishifta. Bat melech, vishifta dahacha inyan acher havei. And this shifta is different from that bat chorin bat melech. Why? Sheshor al ha'ochel kishabalitain pat latinok ben arba oheshanim v'chun kato im lo natal yadav ba'oto sha'a afal pisha kfar natlan shacharit. Right. So he says, no, this shifta over here, Rabbeinu Tam tells us, is something else. He goes into some details, but then he writes at the end, u'ma sha'olam ein nizharin achshav bizeh לפי שאין אותה רוח רעה שרה באלו המלכיות, כמו שאין נזהרים על הגילוי ועל הזוגות. And Rabbeinu Tam ends up by saying that over here, in our country, you know, over here where we live, a white Honda Civic. Anybody want one? Anybody?
Sorry.
I don't know. He didn't seem so sorry, did he? Anyway. He was sorry. He was sincere. Okay. So what he says over here is that where we live in Europe, Rabbeinu Tam says, we don't worry about Shifta. Shifta has not entered into Europe. This is not, this Ruach Ra, he's saying, we have no empirical evidence to believe. What? He doesn't say. He goes, we're not knowing this. We're not concerned about this. This is not something over here. You feel a little better yet? You just grew up in certain places that it doesn't exist. In other places, you would be concerned. Anyway, and he says like other things. The Gemara says something called Gilui and Zugot. There are other things which one person could say is superstition. Somebody else can say, no, these are other kinds of concerns. He goes, we're not really worried about these things where we live. Gilui is to leave a liquid open all night, uncovered all night, and then to drink it in the morning. So Rabbeinu Tam says, we're not concerned about that. There are places they are. What's the concern, by the way? The Gemara talks about the concern. Is the concern that a snake can come in and eat and drink from it and leave poison within it, which, by the way, is a very clear problem, but not a very clear problem where most of us live. Okay, so over here, Zugot is something also which I fear to tell you about, but it's something that the Gemara says you should be careful about. And also, she'll tell me now it's superstition and emunot tefillot, but it's staying away from things that are pairs, which means when you... Pairs, twos. Buying things in twos. Yeah. Shoes you can have too. But if you...
get married.
That's also... It says like... Is buying things in twos. You're in a good mood today, I see. Buying things in twos. It says that there's some kind of a spiritual thing. But where Rabbeinu Tam says, well, it just doesn't apply where we live, and don't worry about this. Right. By one or three, yeah, even numbers. But again, he says we're not concerned about these things. And if none of you ever heard about this, it's not the first thing I would encourage you to be concerned about. He says there's two different problems. One is the problem of this Ruach Ra that when you get up in the morning, and the other is the problem of Shifta, which is specifically of being in contact with bread, and he says that that's just not a problem today. So Rabbeinu Tam on the one hand said that when you get up in the morning, even on Yom Kippur, you wash your hands. On the other hand, washing before you give bread to a kid, he says it's not a concern. It could be that somebody else who doesn't agree with Rabbeinu Tam and therefore would say on Yom Kippur, you can't wash your hands, they would then say, but before you give bread, then you have to wash your hands. Why? Not because of Truma and the Beit HaMikdash, but rather because of hygiene. But again, you have over here Rashi clearly taking us into the realm of I don't want to call it superstition as much into the realm of spirit, which then of course I'm going to skip a couple of sources and come back to them. But of course, once we hear this, then we get intrigued as far as what will the Rambam say, because the Rambam is our favorite rationalist, and the Rambam doesn't believe in such things. There was once a doctor again. Things with hygiene he'll care about, but he doesn't believe in shadim and the like. And there was, I believe it was Rav Yaakov Emden who said, well, the Gemara talks about it, the Rambam says that it doesn't exist. So it says that till the Rambam it existed, but once the Rambam paskened, they don't exist, so they don't no longer exist, right? Tzadik gozer v'kodesh baruch hu mekayim. So they used to be shadim, but once the Rambam says no shadim, so there's no longer shadim. The Rambam with his psak destroyed shadim. Okay, anyway. The Rambam in source number 10, which goes all the way back to really the first source that we saw, writes, this is Hilchot Tefillah, laws of prayer, Taharat Yadayim Ketzad. One of the things which you need as a prerequisite to pray is to have purity of hands. So, by the way, that itself is interesting, because he calls it Taharat Yadayim. Ketzad, how do you do it? Rochetz Yadav B'mayim. Rochetz yadav b'mayim ad haperek, v'charkach yitpalel. Hayam halech bederech vigiyaz man tefillah v'lo yelo mayim. If you're traveling along the road and you don't have any water, but the next place you'll get to, which is within a distance of 8 amot, then keep on going until you get to the place of water and wash your hands. If it's more, wipe your hands with something else, basically. Try to get your hands as clean as you can, and then pray. What?
Don't they say that now?
Rub under, not touch wood. Not touch wood, not touch wood. Touch wood is something else.
Okay. Touch
your shoe, and that's how you touch wood. Yes, yes. Rub. Yeah, you can rub your hands on something else. That's what the Rambam is referring to over here. Okay. By the way, the law about the shoes is shoes, but not shoelaces. Shoelaces you don't have to wash your hands for. But
Right,
it's the shoes, not the shoelaces. Okay. So the Rambam over here, how would you describe this law? Is this a law of spirits? Is this a law of cleanliness? Is this a law of hygiene? Is this purity? Your question also is which perek? This one or this?
Most likely this.
So what is the Rambam telling us? So let's pause for a second and let's look at a second place the Rambam writes about it. But by the way, what would point away from the Rambam believing that this is really an issue of the Shedim, or at least the way that Rashi understood it? Which thing would point away from it? Who was the first one that we saw that said that there's this Bat Chorin or Bat Melech? Who was the one who said that? That was Rabbi Natan, correct? And what did he say that you need to do? How do you get rid of it? Three times. What's missing here from the Rambam? Right, which means the Rambam, what else is missing here?
He's also saying you can do it not only in water.
What else is missing? Right, the Kli, which means, again, see, this is the funny thing. When you read a source like that and not really prepared, so you say, oh yeah, the Rambam says you have to wash your hands in the morning. And because we know that we wash our hands with the Kli, so we would just think that's what he says, but it's not what he says. Which means the Rambam seems to follow those various Gemarot that said you need to wash your hands, but he doesn't incorporate this idea of washing each hand three times. What was that source about? That source was about the Shedim. So now, at least the way the Rashi understood it, now it could very well be that Rambam understood that source the same way, and therefore he doesn't say you have to wash your hands three times.
But that was also about getting up in the morning.
Which means getting up in the morning, you have to wash your hands. That's all the Rambam said over here. Which means, what is this? If you... Let me ask you this. Good.
He's not talking about getting up in the morning. He's giving you a definition of what it means to Harat Yadayim.
Good. Of all the Gemara we saw, which one would you, if you had to choose one of them for the one the Rambam is bringing this law from? Okay, this is the game that the commentaries the Rambam do. Okay, which Gemara is he now? Is he now ruling like? Which one?
Two.
I would agree. Which means this is the verse that said what? What was the verse over there? Yeah, this is the idea of preparing yourself spiritually to pray, which means over here, you could tell me one of two things here. One is you could say the Rambam is talking about cleanliness and hygiene. On the other hand, you could tell me about, no, he's talking about spiritually preparing to pray. What was the verse that was quoted here? Yeah, this was the verse of Tehillim. This was the verse, right, B'nikiyon Kapayim. Again, what else, what word did the Rambam use to describe the washing in the very beginning? What word did he use? Taharat Yadayim. Again, he's talking about purity. It sounds to me the Rambam over here is talking about preparing to pray. By the way, according to, let's say, the Vilna Gaon, for example, you're supposed to wash your hands before you pray, each prayer, not just in shul, Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, before you pray, you're supposed to wash your hands. The Vilna Gaon even make a bracha before each time. That's not the widespread custom, but the law is really to wash your hands. The Rambam would agree with this. The Rambam over here is talking generally to pray. Before you pray, you need Taharat Yadayim. Taharat Yadayim means you need to wash your hands. Which means, according to the Rambam, before you daven, any prayer, you go over the sink, you wash your hands, and then you daven. That's a prerequisite for prayer. That's the way he lists over here. Again, there's no Shedim, there's no washing cup necessarily. What's interesting, you can still now come back and say, so if there's no washing cup, then how can the bracha be on the tehillah yadayim? That's a real good question. I'm not solving that yet. Yeah. Yes.
And
right.
On him also before.
Okay, good, good. Yeah. Right. No, no, Birchat Kohen. And the Kohen. Right.
Even though they're in the middle of davening.
Right.
We ordinarily say the bracha before we do the mitzvah, except for, of course, lighting candles, which
right,
is
right.
Because of Shabbat. But also here, I think because of the tum'ah, I'm just thinking, you can't make a bracha because you're tamei. I'm just thinking
okay.
Logically why the bracha is after the tilat yadayim, because it goes
okay.
Contrary
okay.
To
okay, correct. Correct. Although the part of the question is, what is really the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah the washing or is it the drying? So it could be that according to some of the mitzvahs, you're actually the drying. So you say the bracha.
Before you dry.
So maybe better do it before you dry. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. On source number 11, the Rambam writes, Misha haya miluchlach bitzo'ah otit. Here is the law from the laws of Yom Kippur. Right? Misha miluchlach bitzo'ah otit rochetz makom ha-tnofet. So again, we know that. And so on. So what is the Rambam saying over here? Does the Rambam agree with this whole law of shifta? So I'll point something out, which I think he works too hard on this. Look at source 12, Lecha Mishnah. Umidicha isha yada achat b'mayim v'natena pat latinok. B'gemara amru mishum shifta. The Gemara says the reason for this is because of shifta. Upirish Rashi. Rashi explained ruach ra. So now he's going to ask himself. So if the Rambam is ruling that the woman does have to wash their hands, and the Gemara ends up saying that's because of shifta, that means the Rambam agrees that there is such a thing as ruach ra. And then he will go back and say, but if that's the case, then why in the other place where the Rambam mentioned Tahorat Yadayim, didn't he say you have to wash it three times? And he ends up saying, I don't know what the Rambam's talking about, because make up your mind. If you are concerned with Ruach Ra, you should be washing your hands three times in the morning. If you're not concerned with Ruach Ra, then why is this woman washing at all?
Why you wash your hands.
Do you like his question or you don't like his question? Should I say it again? The Rambam rules like two of the Gemaras that we saw, but he rules in a limited way. And before prayer, he says you need to wash your hands. Right? He didn't say three times on each. So therefore, the indication is he doesn't accept the bottom line of that Gemara, which is the problem of the Bat Melech, which is Ruach Ra, and so on. On the other hand, over here in the Gemara, the other hand, that's very good. And the other hand, over here in the Gemara, where it says that you need to, the woman is going to give food to the baby or to the kid, needs to wash that one hand, the Rambam does write that. So it says that would seem to be the conclusion of the Gemara is because of shifta. Now, because that was the conclusion of source number 7. That did sound, sorry, no, source number 5. That sound to be Amar Bai Mishum Shifta. So, right. And, yeah, see, it's interesting. Abaye brings it afterwards. And for that matter, is Abaye referring to the first opinion of the woman washing one hand? Or is he referring to Shammai, who said you have to wash both hands? Okay. I would tend to agree with you. See what did the Lecha Mishnah do? The Lecha Mishnah said, and we didn't read the whole thing, but what did he do? He said, well, either Rashi's right or Tosfot is right. And therefore, if Rashi's right, it's because of this Ruach Ra. And if Tosfot is right, then there is no Ruach Ra. So why is the Rambam ruling this way? Because again, one way or the other. If there is Ruach Ra, then wash it three times. But I think he's being a little unfair. I think that what the Rambam is saying is hygiene. It's very, very simple. This is a question of hygiene, to give a kid food if you haven't washed your hands. And according to the Rambam, it could very well be the Yom Kippur morning, you don't wash your hands, so how can you give food to a kid? To get just very simple, that the consideration here is tiny. So it's interesting how the Ruach Ra sneaks into it. Whether it clearly says it in the Gemara or not, and whether it's the whole issue of the Gemara or not, is interesting. Let's look at a couple of more things. Let's start with, in source number 8, the Rashba. The Rashba is the one who's going to go back and forth and trying to figure out why we're washing our hands in the morning. Just one second. Hello? Hi. Just stay there. Can I call you back in 2 minutes? I'm sorry about that. He starts asking, okay, let's look at the question. Od lama tiknu brachot al tiyat yadayim b'shachrit? Shebrachazu lo nitkana ela al hapat b'shat suda. Why did Chazal say the bracha in the morning should be al nitilat yadayim, which implies you need to wash with a kli? Why is that the bracha? Which means, in the morning, you have to wash your hands because of cleanliness, you have to, because of hygiene. So why is the bracha in the morning al nitilat yadayim? He says, "Kach nagu b'kol makom levarich b'shachar anatil adayim makpidim ba b'kol tanai hanatila ki b'shat suda." The custom is to wash it and to wash your hands the same way as you would if you're preparing for a meal. But nilo matzati b'shum makom davar mivurar shitzterech adon l'tal yodav shachut b'kli. And he said, "You know what? But looking through all the sources, he writes, I didn't come across any that said you really need to wash your hands with a utensil." Which is a real good observation. So basically, what does the Rashi point out? On the one hand, why is the bracha al netilat yadayim, which implies kli? And on the other hand, why did all the sources we see, none of them mention that you really need a kli? And some of them really would just wash your hands and didn't say anything about a kli. De'imishem shifta ubat melech dai beruchitza. If you're worried about these things, shifta ubat melech, washing would be enough. Which, by the way, is interesting because that did not seem to be the opinion of Rabbi Natan. And if you're talking about just preparing for prayer, so that's an issue of cleanliness to prepare for prayer. And he quotes the verse there. He understands that verse in the literal sense to have clean hands to pray. He said, I'm skipping a line. Ela sheyeshli ktsat. It seems to me I have a proof. What it says in this chapter later on in Chulin, that would be, that Rav says you can wash in the morning and have in mind that this will be for any bread you're going to eat the rest of the day. You can't have that in mind. And by the way, I would strongly advise that before you get on planes. Rather than having to worry about bread, and so we already established all the bread is really bread, it's not mazonot bread. So, yeah. So, by the way, certainly, if you wash and then you take a piece of bread, but you can certainly do it. But I'm saying even without doing that, you wash and you have in mind that I'm washing now for later on as well.
Are you going to discuss the whole thing that you can hold it and touch it?
Yeah. But not yet. Not yet. Maybe. So he says the fact that you can wash in the morning and it stays with you the whole time, that would seem to indicate that you really need to wash properly with a kli. He then, and I'm skipping a bit over here, va'od amr b'perek kayakore, amr v'yochan oto yadu meniach tefillin, that gets to this perfect way of davening. And then he writes, yesh lomar, do you see that? We're around two-thirds of the way down in the middle of the line. Yesh lomar. Sorry, let's go to the line before that. Ve'im tishal ma'ishna tefilat ha'shachar tefilat mincha va'arvit. Why do people wash in the morning? Which means, if washing in the morning, what you just now suggested, is that this Gemara said that what's the purpose, perfect way of accepting God? You go to the bathroom, you wash, and then you go and pray. He goes, if that's the preparation for prayer, then why is it only in the morning? You should prepare for each prayer that way, which, as I told you, is really the conclusion of the Vilna Gaon. Okay, you should wash that way. So he says, Yesh lomar lefisha b'shachar anu nasim kiberya chadasha. He goes, when you are reborn every morning, that every morning you become as if you're a new creature. Dichtiv, and he quotes a verse for this. Next line, towards the end, ulefichacha nutzrichim lehitkadesh b'kedushato. We try to sanctify ourselves. Ulitol yadenu minakli ki kohen shemikadesh yodav minakir kodem avodato. So you want to the kohen here. He finally says it. He says that washing the hands before prayer is like the kohen who's about to go in and perform in the Beit HaMikdash. So he really did take the whole idea of washing in the morning as being an idea. Again, he took it on the one hand of kedusha of bread. On the other hand, right? On the other hand, he takes it in terms of kedusha of the Kohen to serve. What he doesn't seem to really get into over here at all is, interestingly enough, is the idea of Ruach Ra. If you look at source number 9 now, the Rush writes, Kimashi Yadeh, when you wash your hands, Omer, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Akeinu Machalam, right? Al Asheket Shem Mitzvot Sifanu, Al Netilat Yadayim, Lefi Sheyodov Shel Adam Askani Otem, the hands move around all night, the hands are busy. And one cannot guard while they're sleeping that their hands did not touch an inappropriate place. And that's why you wash in the morning, which, by the way, sounds like the Rush is telling us pure issue of hygiene and cleanliness. That he doesn't answer why. Maybe that he doesn't answer why. But it really sounds like the Rashba is leaning towards Kedusha. Once again, the Rashba is leaning towards Kedusha. The Rush is leaning towards hygiene. Just to keep... In 13, the Beit Yosef, after bringing the earlier opinions, and as I said, B'li Nedr, we'll see what the Shulchan Aruch does with all this, but again, we needed a bit of the foundation first. In the Beit Yosef, after quoting everything else, does quote a Zohar. It's interesting how he quotes it. He says, "V'chein katuv b'sefer Zohar parashat Vayeshev v'pasuk v'yomer ish nasum mizeh v'od ketuvim sham b'nitil yadam shacharit chidushin she'einam nimtzaim b'poskim." There are certain things written in the Zohar which are not found in normative halachic places, and I'm just going to quote the first one because he goes on from even much longer than this one paragraph I gave you here. He writes at the end of the line, "Tochazi raza the mil tahacha." The secret of the matter is thus. The late bar nashba alma de lo ta'im ta'ama de mavta belele, veruach masaba sharia el hugufa. That every person at night when they sleep, they are touched by a tinge of death, and sleeping is like you're dead, and therefore you are infected by tumat mate, which means he just now will bring, this is very strange, but very strange, very interesting, he just now will suggest that imply that the reason we wash in the morning, it is the same thing as when you leave the cemetery, because then you came in contact with the dead. The only issue is the dead that you came in contact with here is you. So that's just a little, perhaps, a little more interesting. But that is the direction that the Zohar ends up going on. Right. So, but although the truth is, it could be that this line maybe was implied by the Rashba as well when he says that you become a beria chadash, you become a new thing when you wake up in the morning, and it could be that line is not so different. So what have we accomplished this time? All that we did is we really spoke about one kind of washing, although along the way we touched a lots of different types. Simplest thing, you get up in the morning, you wash your hands, and now you realize that even the simplest thing, I told you that, I can make the simplest thing complicated. The simplest thing is you get, and now we realize we don't know exactly why. There is this whole voice that we hear in terms of Tum'ah, in terms of Ruach Ra. Rashi, interestingly enough, was the one who keeps bringing that in. The Rambam seems completely oblivious to it. Interestingly enough, Rabbeinu Tam says, okay, it just doesn't really apply where we live. The Rush ignores it, the Rashba ignored it. So it's in, and now what's the difference? The difference is how you wash in the morning. I mean, according to some of these other, if it's cleanliness, right, if it's preparing for davening, it seems to be that all you need to do is to wash your hands, right? The idea of three came in once we saw it was the idea of Ruach Ra, right? The idea of a kli we saw. Nonetheless, this other voice that we keep hearing, which Shuli has adopted, is the voice of, okay, then why is it Netilat Yadayim if it's really not with the kli? Which means that doesn't seem to work. Why is the bracha Netilat Yadayim? So that becomes a very good question. The Gemara told us it was Netilat Yadayim without giving us any other reason. So far we've gotten to one kind of washing, lots of kinds of reasons for one kind of washing, and B'li Nedr to be continued.